Second hour, Darren, Donick, and Chase here on this Monday. Hope everybody's having a good start to your week. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, Chase McCabe with you. Every Monday at this time, we talk with TD. Teron Davenport joins us now to talk all Tennessee Titans as they have wrapped up their minicamp. 5-week break, less than 5 weeks now. And then they will get things cranked up for training camp, preseason, and, of course, the regular season. He is the NFL Nation reporter for ESPN and ESPN.com. Teron now joins us. TD, how was your weekend?
Hey, good morning. Good morning still. Weekend was great, man. I'm still high, man. Got to spend so much time with my daughters. They cooked me dinner. I mean, I couldn't have been more blessed, man. I hope you guys had a great one, too.
What'd they cook you?
Oh, well, you know, a little stuffed chicken breast, some steamed broccoli and scalloped potatoes.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. And when I said I'm still high, I mean high on life, you know, just for clarity, so to make sure everyone knows that I don't get down like that.
But you are not tested, in fairness, so, you know, whatever. I mean, you know, you're not like the NFL players. You're not tested. So, whatever. You know, speaking of that, in all seriousness, we had fun playing Mike Vrabel's final presser, what was it, Thursday, I guess, whenever they decided not to practice, but he kind of wrapped, put a nice little bow on the three-day mini camp. I had the under on vaccination questions. It was the over, so I lost on that ticket. And, you know, what do you make of kind of the league is not telling players, they cannot force anybody to be vaccinated, but there is a clear message around the league, and look, if you're vaccinated, you basically can operate under normal conditions. If you're not, you're going to have to operate kind of the way you've been used to operating. What do you make of that delicate balance of how Mike Vrabel and his staff and John Robinson will have to go about it? I don't even know. Do you know the percentage of where the Titans are right now in vaccinations?
No, I don't know the percentage. They've been very keeping that under the vest, so I'm not sure what it is. But I think the way they're approaching it is right. You can't mandate that guys get the vaccine, but you can encourage them, and you could offer different things to do that. So I think they're approaching it the right way.
But there is a clear – I mean, this is why I think there probably were so many questions. And I think I read where the Dolphins and Saints right now, I guess of the data they have, are the teams that are – have the highest percentage of vaccinated players right now. But as we get closer to camp, and look, a lot of things can happen in the next 4.5 weeks, but as we get closer to camp, it will become a little bit of a storyline because there is a real advantage, right, with teams who, let's just say, have fully participated in being vaccinated, and they're operating under, you know, conditions of 2019. I mean, you know, it's business as usual. They'll have a little bit of an advantage, don't you think?
I mean, it may be a little bit of an advantage, but the fact of the matter is they still get their practice time in. You know, they wear their mask. So, okay, is there that much of an advantage of having a mask on versus not? I don't think so. So I don't really think there's too much of an advantage, to be honest with you. They found a way to do it last year, right, with even higher protocols and those type of things. So I don't think there really is an advantage, frankly.
I know you brought up Janoris Jenkins last Monday with us. David Beauclair joined us later in the week, brought up Janoris Jenkins. It's pretty clear the Jackrabbit has stood out to all who has watched between OTAs and minicamps. What is it about him that you really, really like sitting here in June, and how much can he truly contribute to that secondary?
Yeah, well, for me, Jackrabbit, I knew that he could play. I knew that he was a very aggressive football player. I knew that, you know, he liked to fight with receivers. And when I say fight, I'm talking about, like, within the routes and at the catch point and those type of things. And I actually should have figured that when a guy has that habit, it's something that he developed in practice, right? And actually getting to see him practice, just the way he attacks every rep was really impressive. And just the way he, even when a receiver catches the football, he's still punching at it all the way into the tuck. And those are things that, as a veteran DB that's been around for so long, you're setting an example for younger guys. So, for me, like, it goes beyond just the play. it goes beyond how he could impact a Christian Fulton, how he could impact an Elijah Molden, how he could impact a Caleb Farley, who obviously is not out there, but he's still watching practice film. So these are all things of, hey, look, I don't have to tell you to go hard every rep. I'm going to show you to go hard every rep because that's what I do. And I think that's what's so impressive about him. I just love that to be his age, you know, long in the tooth, how he supposedly is. The dude is still spry and agile and fast. I've just been impressed with that.
I set some over and unders last week, and so let's see where you go with this. Chase is going to tell everybody about BetMGM when we wrap up this interview. So let's do a little betting, you know, just friendly wagers. I have set the over-under of catches for A.J. Brown at 79.5. Are you taking the over or the
A.J. Brown or Julio Jones?
A.J. Brown. We did this game when you were gone on Friday.
That's exactly the same number that you threw out for Julio Jones as well,
correct.
Right?
Okay. Yes. A.J. Brown, 79.5.
I'll take the over on that. I think A.J. Brown is going to lead the team in receptions because for me, when you watch, he's pretty much settled into that line, the blanket, right? Like for Linus and Peanut, he's settled into that blanket for Ryan Tannehill. So I think he's going to get a lot of catches. And that just the fact that he gets so much after the catch, it's easy for a quarterback to throw it to him. I mean, you're going to want to because you get all those free yards.
Okay, the same line has been set for Julio Jones, 79.5 catches this season, over or under?
I'm going to take the under because I don't think Julio Jones is going to, especially Anthony Firkser in the red zone.
All right, you cut out. Can you say that again? I know you said the under and then you cut out.
Oh, sorry about that. I'm going to take the under because I think A.J. Brown and Anthony Firkser are going to dominate the targets in the red zone.
Okay. And finally, Derrick Henry, 349.5 carries. 349.5 carries over or under this season.
I'm going to take the under on that because I think Brian Hill and Darrington Evans are going to get their share of touches, and there's going to be a bit more balance just as far as the passing game is concerned. When you have all these guys available, you know, Brown, Jones, we didn't even mention Josh Reynolds and Anthony Firkser and Darrington Evans catching out of the back. I think there's too much. I don't think he's going to get over a 349.
Okay. That's with 17 games, too. Keep in mind, extra game. Should have probably said that at the beginning. The other thing is, I said last week something that I don't like sitting here in mid-June. We played the what do you like, what don't you like sitting here in mid-June game. One of the things that I didn't like is I don't know if they're going to have a productive rookie class. They did not have a productive rookie class. I don't know. I mean, Caleb Farley, I don't know what his status is going to be. I don't know if he's going to be able to be out there and help them. Dylan Radunz, I don't know what his role is. They desperately need some type of rookie production this year. I don't know what these wide receivers or at least one wide receiver can bring and if he have any impact at all. You tell me, do you feel confident they can get production from this rookie class? And I'm not saying just a little bit more than last year. Can they get real production?
Yeah, I think Caleb Farley plays this year and plays well. I really do. But you want production, you want solid play. It's going to come from Elijah Molden. And I feel he's going to be the nickel. I think Christian Fulton's going to be the right corner and Jackrabbit Jenkins at left. So that's the lineup that I envision in the secondary when they, you know, kick off the season. So for me, yeah. And then you also have to look at Rashad Weaver. I think Weaver is still, although he has some things have to be worked out, I think he's going to be a contributor, just getting good, significant reps in that rotation, the outside linebacker. So, I think they'll get a contribution. Now, are they going to get somebody that's going to be an offensive or defensive rookie of the year candidate? Not likely, but I still think they'll get someone to help them play.
Talking to Teron Davenport, ESPN.com, and, of course, talking with TD, the podcast, all of his great roles that you hear him on our radio station. Teron, you had a great piece on Elijah Molden, who you just mentioned. I found it really fascinating. It, you know, son of an NFL player, oldest of eight kids, and they sort of had a development idea for them. And tell us about that, because when they were young, and Elijah went through this, gymnastics and soccer as well as football. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so I got to talk to Elijah's dad, Alex Molden, and it's just funny because I remember watching him play, you know, and here it is, you know, I'm talking to him about his son. And he told me that they all had a plan for, I mean, he had a plan for each of them, and even his daughters, you know, it was gymnastics and soccer. Then after that, you could play whatever you want. He made it very clear that it wasn't mandatory to play football. He wanted any of his sons that wanted to play football, he wanted them to just, you know, do it because they liked the game, not because they wanted to be like daddy. And that was something that I was impressed with. And then also, he was very hands-off as far as how he coached them. He wanted to, of course, give them different nuggets and things like that, but he only did it when they came to him. And Elijah stood out because he was very inquisitive, and he was the most competitive. His younger brother is playing also, but he was very competitive, very inquisitive, and that really piqued his dad's interest and his mother, Kristen, you know, and they decided to let him play flag football a little bit earlier than, or rather, tackle football a little bit earlier than they normally what had been established, and he loved it, and it just kind of took off from there. I'm not going to tell the whole story because I want folks to read it, but it was really good because once Alex did get involved, there was just, I mean, they're watching football games. They're taking 5 hours to go through a game, and he's giving them the ultimate instruction and just way to look at things. And one of the quotes I didn't put in there that was kind of funny is Alex said if he and Elijah had to compete for a job in college together, he would have been beat out of luck. He was like, the kid is, he was more advanced at every level than I was. So I thought that was really interesting. And then Jimmy Lake, man, because once you get Coach Jimmy Lake, he's a hidden gem out there on the West Coast. He's the head coach of the University of Washington, but he was the DB coach and then the defensive coordinator. And you ask anybody that flowed through Washington about Jimmy Lake, and you will get the most glowing endorsement you could get out of a coach. And I think that just kind of really helped things along. And guys love Coach Lake, and Coach Lake got a hold of Elijah and just really helped make him, you know, the player that he is now.
It's a great article. I'm really going to be watching him closely when training camp starts. People that know me, they know I'm a big fan of playing multiple sports at a younger age and as long as you can.
Yeah.
And I love the thinking. It's a great, you know, viewpoint from a parent's perspective if you're, you know, thinking about these kind of things. If your kids play sports, is how to try to approach it, right? You said some great things there. It seems like he just had really good guidance, so like gymnastics for balance, soccer for footwork. It's just really great outside-the-box thinking that we probably should do more.
Yeah, without a doubt. And, you know, he really, with soccer, the main thing that he wanted was the footwork, but also just the understanding how to play in space. And coincidentally, what is Elijah's best position? Nickel. And what do you have to do the most as a nickel DB? Play in space. So I thought that was awesome, just how it just kind of foreshadowed where he would be at his best.
I want to ask you, Teron, about a guy that I honestly don't know much about, but I want to know what you think about where his role could be. What did we learn? What have you learned about Hill? You just mentioned the other running back. We're all focused on Darrington Evans and what he could be in his second year if he could stay healthy, how he could complement Derrick Henry. I think we all see that, but where do you see Hill?
Yeah, I think Hill factors in as a pretty solid complementary back. I think he's somebody that they could still have on first and second downs when they want to give Henry a blow. He's not really that much of a pass catcher out of the backfield, but he still is a guy that just, I mean, in my opinion, just complements what they do really well, and they seem to like him.
We're talking to Teron Davenport, ESPN, NFL Nation reporter, and for the Titans. You talked about, or you wrote an article last week about Shane Bowen as well, and working with Jim Haslett, Mike Vrabel, Jim Schwartz, just all the minds he's able to pick from. But with how this defense has turned over, the players that were here last year that are no longer here and the new ones that have come in, with him having the experience of, even though he didn't have the title, to run the defense last year, putting all that together and with the guys he can pick from, do you feel like that this year is kind of a reset for him, even though all eyes are going to be on him to perform as the DC?
Yeah, I think it is a reset. And you could tell that he's refreshed just watching him out there. I have fun, you know, kind of following these coaches as they go from just unit to unit. That's what I love doing as far as Mike Vrabel's concerned. And now, you know, you got Shane Bowen just flowing around. And it's pretty cool to see just how excited he is. You're seeing a lot more of that from him, and just he definitely seems refreshed. He definitely seems refreshed, and I think it is a reset for him. He has the title now. It's a year in, and you know, like just like anything, once you're in a new place or new position, right? A year into that, you really start to settle in, and you're able to just you know, just be yourself and just handle yourself accordingly and do your job.
Well, and you also point out that, you know, of Vrabel and Schwartz and Haslett, Bowen has the least amount of experience. He's 34 years old, relatively young for a coach, but picking the brain of those guys with 63 years of combined experience, I mean, that certainly has to be beneficial. But how important is it going to be for, even though those three have a lot of experience, that now you have to let Bowen do the job? You have to let, just like Vrabel did with Arthur Smith. When Arthur Smith took over as the offensive coordinator, he had never done it before. He had to make some mistakes. He learned from those mistakes. How important is it that they do the same thing here with Bowen?
Yeah, I think it's huge. And the thing that's really good about this combination, this team that they have, as far as the coaches are concerned, there's no egos. Right? I mean, they're type A's. I mean, you talk to Coach Jim Schwartz, you will very quickly see that he's an alpha. You already know what Mike Vrabel is. And Jim Haslett, he isn't exactly as aggressive as those guys, but trust me, when you see him out there on the field, he is. You know, so all of that is all going to combine and work. And I think that the best thing is they're attacking this as adults. Mike Vrabel, when I asked him about the too many chefs in the kitchen, he said the thing that we all have to understand is that there's going to be disagreements. And one of the things I love about men is we can have a disagreement, and 2 minutes later, we're on the same page, and we're cool. And I think that's the difference between men and boys. So they're approaching it the right way, and he said we're all going to have disagreements, but when we leave the room, it has to be understood that we're on the same page, and we're delivering the same message to the players. That's crucial, because if you have mixed messages, it's just like parenting, right? If a mother and father aren't delivering, one wants this and one wants that, and then one is enforcing this and one is enforcing that, it's not going to be a successful upbringing for the child. So I think it's very similar, not to call the players children and coaches parents, but it's like, you know, authority and you know, person who has to listen to the authority. I think that's the situation. So it's going to be, in my opinion, a good one. And the thing that I like about Shane Bowen is he's humble enough to understand that these guys have been around and it's nothing but beneficial to him.
Teron, I'd like to get your opinion on something not Titans related, but yesterday with the NASCAR race in town, I ran into Alvin Kamara. He was there walking around with his entourage. Couldn't have been nicer. He has partnered with NASCAR to be their first growth and engagement advisor, and we've seen over the course of the last year that NASCAR has really been working on their diversity and, you know, things with Bubba Wallace as an African-American driver. Bernard Pollard, former NFL safety, has been involved with them. He waved the green flag yesterday, but Kamara has really embraced the sport and trying to help build their fan base. And we all know the popularity of the NFL and him being one of the top players in the league. But what are your thoughts on that of seeing a sports entity really try to grow in that way and bringing in some heavy hitters from the NFL?
No, I love it. And just the fact that they're embracing that need for diversity and that they're understanding, hey, we could grow this game and make it more popular by reaching out to different demographics that typically aren't exposed to it. So it's a great idea, and it's no different than, you know, what Adam Jones and Dominic Smith have been doing with baseball, right? Trying to get it back into the black community, because it really isn't a sport that too many, you know, young black kids participate in anymore. Now, obviously, race car driving isn't something that, you know, a lot of kids are doing, you know, per se. I mean, they're race car driving on the streets, but not in actual NASCAR. So it's really good to see that, man. I just love the fact that they're branching out, man, and they're embracing it. And especially, it's an example of how something very good can emerge from something very negative. And you remember the stuff that, you know, the whole Bubba Wallace situation. And it just is really cool to see this type of embracing just being birthed from that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, I just wanted to get your perspective on that. TD, great stuff as always. We will do it again next Monday at 11.
Yeah, and I apologize for the background noise. I had to have you on Bluetooth. I'm trying to find this place where the Titans rookies are doing a reading. So yet another awesome thing that the Titans are doing to branch into the community, man. It's fabulous what they do.
Totally cool. That'll be awesome to hear about. And obviously talking with TD coming up on Wednesday. You'll have the Power Hour at 3 on Thursday and the morning show Friday at 8. Thanks as always, TD.
You got it. Appreciate it.
He is Teron Davenport, Titans NFL Nation reporter for ESPN. Joins us again every Monday at 11. Darren alluded to it earlier about BetMGM. It is my time to tell you how you can score a major payday with BetMGM. It's the best time to sign up for the King of Sportsbooks because they're giving new customers a shot at an easy $100. All you have to do is register using the code 1025GAME100 and you'll win $100 in free bets when you place a $1 moneyline wager on the Braves or Willie's Mets. If either team hits a home run, you're a winner regardless of your bet's outcome. Whether you're asking the stakes, whether you're raising the stakes on basketball and hockey playoffs, or wagering on your favorite baseball team, BetMGM is always ready for action. Enjoy innovative parlay selection builders, daily promotions, boosted odds specials, and more. Download the app or go to BetMGM.com. Use that code 1025GAME100 to win $100 when you bet $1 on the Braves or the Mets and either team hits a home run. New customer offer, paid in free bets. You must be 21 years or older, must be in Tennessee. Visit BetMGM.com for a full list of terms and conditions. For problem gambling support, call the Tennessee Red Line at 800-889-9789.
Right now you can go to thegamenashville.com to check out Nashville's best deals. Yeah, the deals that are happening right now include the $50 Bad Axe Throwing Nashville gift card for $25. Buy one, get one free Beach Bend Park and Splash Lagoon, plus $20 Grain and Berry gift cards for $10. Get yours right now while they last. All you have to do is go to thegamenashville.com. Back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase, This Is What I Know. Coming up in about 20 minutes, we'll have Bonnaroo tickets to give away. We'll head east. We'll actually head to Omaha, because that's where Vince Ferrara is at the College World Series. So we'll talk to him. Got a chance to catch a little bit of his call yesterday during the Tennessee game on the way out to the track. So we'll get into all that with Vince Ferrara coming up at high noon, plus Darrell Waltrip at 1 o'clock. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, Chase McCabe with you. It is interesting as things get a little bit quiet. But what do you guys make of? Do you think because a lot of people are talking about, I think it kind of took us back. Chase, you weren't here on Thursday's show when we played Mike Vrabel's press conference, but all the vaccination questions. Like I said, I had the under on vaccinated questions. It was clearly the over, so I had a losing ticket on that. But you do wonder, the league teams cannot really force anybody to do anything. But kind of the way they're setting up the rules, it's basically like, hey, we're all going to be over here. If you'd like to join us, this is what you'll need to do.
Yeah, I think we talked about it some last week, Darren. I want to be careful how I say this, but I try to put myself in the shoes of the NFL, right? And the absolute dedication it took, the grind that it took to get through the season, all of the testing, every day, the masks, the protocols, the amount of stress, and the amount of effort that it took by so many just to get through the season. And now you have a way, simply by getting vaccinated at a high level, to alleviate all of that stuff and get back to doing it the way you've always done it. So to strongly suggest that players get vaccinated, I completely get that. And at the same time, everybody's got to have their own opinion on it. You know, Cole Beasley was very outspoken about it. And the only thing I would say, and so basically the NFL has said, listen, you don't have to get vaccinated, but if you don't, you have to go through all the protocols that you went through last year. You have to, and that might be separate from everybody else that has gone through the vaccination process. And I know people like Cole Beasley don't like that. Mm-hmm. And there's a few others. Apparently, he says there are probably a handful of others that feel that way. The vast majority, I think, are like, yeah, sign me up for not having to get tested every day. Sign me up for being able to be with people in person, meet with my coaches, not have to worry about all that stuff. To me, it's probably pretty simple for a high number of the players. So
honestly, I'm not sure it's the vast majority,
because
everything I've read and seen thus far, it seems like teams are like hovering, which kind of surprised me, at around the 50% mark.
So that is interesting.
It's not the vast majority, at least from what I can tell.
Right. So I don't know what it is.
Yeah. I don't know for sure either, and I'm not sure people really know, because some team, nobody's really disclosing that. Like I said, I think I saw something where the Saints and Dolphins right now may be, I guess, have the highest percentages of players vaccinated, and it's like at 85%. But I think from what I read, it was more teams are hovering around 50%.
And that's surprising me based on other teams, because other leagues, they've gotten to that 85%. It seems like the hockey players, they couldn't wait to get to the 85% because they were tired of not being able to leave your hotel room, right? Baseball players, from what I understand, pretty similar. Just the freedoms that you pick up by going through the collective vaccination problem. And that's the thing that I try, it's just my opinion. The vaccination process isn't just about you. I completely understand Cole Beasley's take on, I'm a strong young person with a good immune system. If I get COVID, I'm not that worried about it. I get that. I think if you're healthy and you feel strong, the overwhelming chances are if you get the virus, we've learned about this, right? I'm not a health expert, but I've learned enough over the last year about this thing. Probably not going to affect a healthy person, very likely, right? It's a minuscule percentage that something really bad would happen to him. But it's not just about him, right? If everybody felt that way, if everybody did that, then we'd all be sitting in our houses every day again. We wouldn't be able to go anywhere, right? But now we've been working towards getting this vaccination problem so we can get back out and do the things that we're accustomed to doing. So you have to think a little bit beyond your own personal body. Chase, I think I heard you say this earlier. You know, you weren't that worried about it, but for other people's sake,
sure,
right? People that are more vulnerable around you, that's why it was easy for you to say, I'll get vaccinated. I felt the same way. I feel pretty healthy. I felt like, and if I got it, I think I could have dealt with it. I like my odds. But I also felt like, as part of the bigger picture, it was important to get vaccinated, because that was going to allow all of us to start getting out there and doing the things we do. I think it applies to the football team as well, right? You're a team. You want to meet as a team. You want to be together as a team. You want to be able to do the things you're doing. It was a burden last year to get through the season, but that was what was necessary at the time. You have a way to get out of that now. So it's a little tricky. It's tricky there. I don't blame the league for setting it up that way.
I'll tell you this, that, you know, being at the race this weekend and knowing that, okay, I'm good, not having to wear a mask, you know, it was hot, just it felt normal. Like, it was normal.
Yes.
It didn't just feel normal. It was normal.
Going out to a restaurant.
Yeah, same way.
Thing, you know, you don't have to think about it anymore.
And I totally, you know, I'm not one of those, I'm not trying to, you know, beat on the desk and tell you what to do. You make your own decisions. That's That's on you. But I know that the more time goes on and things getting back to normal, I mean, I know that that's what I have been looking forward to. So,
and there's only one reason we're able to do that, because of the vaccinations.
Sure.
If we didn't have the vaccine, we'd still be in the position we were in last year. There's no way around that. So you have to think beyond your own, how it would affect you. It's a team sport. It's a league, right? So you may not be the biggest fan of vaccinations. You might have questions, and you are absolutely within your rights to do it. But you do have to think a little bit beyond. You have to think about your team and everybody around you, as well as your own personal thoughts about it. That's the only thing I would encourage.
You told me on Thursday show you wanted me to set the over-under on A.J. Brown. I did that on Friday after you left to go to Indiana. So A.J. Brown and Julio Jones, same over-under number at 79.5. Teron took the over on A.J. Brown, took the under on Julio Jones. Chase and I
and
think
took the under on Derrick Henry. To me, it's really under. It's really you got to name all three.
349.5 for Derrick Henry. I went the complete opposite on everything. I went over Julio Jones, under A.J. Brown, over Derrick Henry.
Hmm.
So what say you?
Oh, it's you're asking me really to have a crystal ball on how defenses are going to – that's a huge part. Like, how are defenses going to try to defend them? Like, how are they going to try to go about it? But if I had to take a stab, I would really go – I would easily go under 349 for Derrick Henry.
Easily. 17 games.
17 games is the tricky part. Mm-hmm. If it were 16, then I would have no problem
Absolutely.
Saying 349. But 17, it's going to be right. I think that's a really good number that you've thrown out there. But I'd still like to be a little under in a perfect world.
Okay.
Not far from it. But I think if you get up over that, you're asking a lot.
Right, but you said you'd like to be. But the question is, what will he be?
I know, because like, who was it? Was it Jeff Saturday? Who was it we had on last week? He had a great perspective on it. He was like, when you have that weapon and you're in the game and it's working and you can feel the trees starting to fall in the forest.
Was
in
it
the fourth
Trey
quarter.
Wingo?
Trey Wingo might have been the guy.
I don't remember who it was,
I know where you're going. We've had a lot of people weighing on this, which has been great. But the point was made that when you're in that game and he's got 21 carries, 22 carries, and you're like, man, his carries are getting up there. I kind of like to sit him for a series. But the trees are falling. You can feel it. You're on the verge of a breakthrough. He's going to bust a big one. The defense is about to be driven into submission. It's hard to not give him the ball. Why would you not give him the ball? Right? I'm sure they, you know, in a perfect world before the season, they didn't want to give it to him 300 and whatever it was. What was it?
378.
Mm-hmm. Especially in that last game. But, man, they needed every one of those carries to win the division. But I'm still going under.
Okay, here's
still going under, and I will go over for AJ, and I will go with Teron. So I'm with Teron. I'll go slightly under for Julio.
Okay,
slightly under.
Here's my thing on the carries thing with Derrick Henry, and I apply this to every weapon that the Titans have. We've said multiple times that this window is open. That this is you are right in the window to go win a Super Bowl. You just made this trade for Julio Jones. You have just told the league, like, hey, we're ready. We're going to play. I get the whole preserving Derrick Henry and, you know, that he 372 carries, 2,000 yards last year. But I also look at it of, you know, when you're in a battle, you empty the clip. I mean, and he knows that too. Like, you empty the clip. There's no waiting until tomorrow. You got to go for it. So, like you just said, Willie, if they're in this game and the run game's working, I don't think anybody on that sideline is thinking, well, you know what?
2022, we need him for 2022.
Yeah, I mean, we need to have Derek ready for next year.
Right.
So let's put him on a pitch.
You're in the bunker, man.
I'm with you 100%. Honestly, I understand it. I can applaud it. I can appreciate it. But this whole preserving thing. the league is called the NFL, not for long. I mean, that's what we've been saying forever. And, you know, I think Derrick Henry is elite. I think he's special. I think he's got a unique body type. I think he's got a unique – I mean, he's just different than everybody else. You know how I am about that category. And so I don't want to treat him like everybody else. I look at – like you said, it's now. It's like Todd Gurley. Like there is no – the Rams thought that Todd Gurley was that guy. And Todd Gurley helped them go to the Super Bowl. And they lost, but they got to the Super Bowl. And Todd Gurley is barely on a roster right now. I mean, there's just no way of knowing.
Is he on a roster?
I don't even know. I mean, honestly, he has fallen so far by the wayside.
He's a free agent. He is not on a roster.
It is hard to believe, by the way, Todd Gurley is where he is. Just think about when the Rams were in the Super Bowl. What was that, 3 years ago? And we don't even know if Todd Gurley's not even on a team. There's no way to predict it. I mean, there's no way to predict when Derrick Henry is going to hit a wall. I'm not going to try to, nor should they. They don't have any clue when he's going to hit the wall. To me, when you have something special in his prime – and that guy can take you to the promised land because he can. Without Derrick Henry, they don't have these two runs. It doesn't exist. It does not exist going to the AFC title game. Winning the division and playing a home playoff game last year does not exist without Derrick Henry. They have a unique, special, elite player. And I'm not saying, you know, hey, you ride him to the, you know, drive him to the ground. No, I just say – how can you just lay off and say, well, if we do this year, that'll help him in 2022. And if we do it a certain way in 2022, that should preserve him for 2023. There's no way of knowing. You don't know how the future – in the NFL, you better take advantage of your window right freaking now.
Yep.
And their window is now. It is not the 2024 season. It's not the 2023 season. I mean, we played this game with the Predators. I'm as guilty as charged. I'm raising my hand. I was the first one. I'm in post-game at Barrel House, a packed Barrel House, after game 6 of the Stanley Cup Final and saying, I know this sucks, but keep your head up. The Predators are in a nice 5-year window. And I felt pretty good about that. And that 5-year window lasted a year.
Yeah.
And then it was over in game 7 in the second round, and there hasn't been any window since other than first round exits. Yes, they've been getting to the playoffs, but you got to do it now. There is no such thing as, hey, I mean, there is such a thing as a window, and I firmly believe that with the Predators, but that just goes to show you in sports, hockey, football, whatever we're talking about, it is so incredibly hard to stay at a certain level, which is why you should appreciate the Patriots and some other dynasty teams, Alabama football and others, what they do. Now, maybe you think the Patriots have been cheating. Okay, that's fine. But
well, I don't think
it does
that.
Make you – well, you know, okay, maybe there's that. But it may be tainted a little bit. But you should appreciate – it's hard. It's very, very hard. And I just don't believe in preserving and trying to, hey, if you do this and if you do that, everything will be even better for next year for Derrick Henry. And then you'll have him for 2023. And then you'll have him for 2024. Man, we have no way of knowing how that's going to play out. They just acquired Julio Jones. You know what I know? They need to be going for it this year. That's what I know.
And I believe they are.
By the way, I just did it. That's what I know. They need to be going for it this year and not worrying about Derrick Henry.
Is that your official? This is what I know?
There you go. I just got mine out of the way. That's what I know. Don't worry about 2022 or 23 or 24 or 25. Go for it right now. And if that means Derrick Henry needs to go over 349.5 to do it, then do it.
I agree
wholeheartedly. You can go for it and not get it and then come back and have no chance because you went for it the year before. That's the only thing
I'm saying. But I mean,
you have to balance it a little bit. I just don't think you can go gung ho.
I think
all in like that.
I think in this league and right now with the way this team's built, 2022 doesn't exist. You got to go in thinking the league, your team goes away after 2021.
So you think Julio Jones will fall off the map and not be good next year?
No,
I don't know.
No way of knowing.
I have no idea.
No way of knowing.
What's your suspicion?
They could go. Yeah, I mean, listen, it's the same concerns that we had before he was even traded. Like, hey, the dude's still 32. Yes, he's an elite receiver, and I don't think he's, you know, washed up like some people may think. But he could go out, ball out this year, and
right.
not
we,
be
we
the same next year.
We can't predict the future. I'm saying, picture a roulette wheel. You got all yeah. those numbers. Do I want to put all my numbers on 21, or do I want to take some of my number, some of my chips, and put it on 22? I think that
my
is
stack
what
is
I'm
on
looking
21
at.
In June.
I put most of mine on 21, but I'm going to keep some on 22.
You got to if you,
June 21st. I want, my stack's
I
on
want
21.
My I, Ryan Tannehill yep. will be back next year. Derrick Henry will be back next year. Julio Jones will be back next year. The salary cap will go up next year. I want to be think. Somebody's got to think about 22.
Live in the now, man. Live in the now. That's where I'm at. Yep. I'm not worried about yesterday. I'm not worried about tomorrow. I'm worried about today because that's what I'm guaranteed.
We'll come back and close out hour number two, and all you have to do is tell us what you know. And me being the pro that I am, guys, I'm going to dig deep and come up with another. This is what I know. I'm going to pull out two today. I'm not holding back. I'm not holding back for next Monday. I'm going to do it right now. I'm going to have two Twix. I'll have another one. I've already given you one. I'll do another one on the other side. You guys are going to do it. But we need your phone calls. We've got Bonnaroo tickets, a pair of four-day passes to Bonnaroo at the beginning of September. Foo Fighters is the main act. You're going to want to get involved with this, but you're going to have to participate. 615-737-1025, 737-1025. Your phone calls next.
Some things you just know.
I have to know.
Do you think everybody knows?
When you know, you just know. It's time to set the record straight. Join the fun on This Is What I Know with Darren, Donick, and Chase.
We do. We want to know what you know. And you know what? The best call at 615-737-1025. That's our phone line driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com. A pair of four-day passes to Bonnaroo. You know, that big music festival in Manchester. That's September 2nd through the 5th. Foo Fighters, Lizzo, My Morning Jacket, Incubus, and many, many more will be in attendance. Your chance, but you have to call to participate. Guys, I said I would dig deep, and I would come up with another one, and here we go. This is what I know, and I am pumped. I just saw this in the last 15 minutes. Just announced coming to Bridgestone Arena, and I want to go. September 3rd, which is ironic. That's during.
Oh, no.
Excuse me?
Oh, no.
What happened to Darren? He's frozen.
He's frozen. As soon as he was going to say what? It, he's gone.
Is he
he's
not
frozen.
On, is he only Zoom? Is that what happened? What?
No. He's on everything, which tells me that he's got an internet issue.
Oh, that's unfortunate. He's back.
Oh. Is he back?
Darren.
Sorry, guys.
What happened?
I don't know.
We're all in suspense. You're like.
I never had that happen.
Let me tell you who's coming. And all of a sudden.
You froze. Wow. You froze everywhere. You froze on the air. You froze on Zoom.
Total frozation.
All right. September 3rd at Bridgestone Arena. Dave Chappelle and Joe Rogan. Hello. I want to go. I want to go to that. That excites me. September 3rd, right. Bridgestone Arena. Just announced Dave Chappelle and Joe Rogan. I would like to be a part of that. That's what I know.
Okay.
Tickets go on sale Friday. This Friday.
Okay,
that
this
sounds
is,
excellent.
This is what I know.
Does that not sound like a really cool night at Bridgestone Arena?
Oh yeah.
Oh, I think so.
Dave Chappelle and Joe Rogan. Hello.
Hi.
Was that worth being frozen?
This is what I know, and I don't think we should go down this road on the show today, unless you want the result. But this is what I know. If you want to stir up a hornet's nest on Twitter, tweet a strong opinion about one of the following, the Whistler or cowbells. And I don't care if you've never watched a college baseball game before, or you are a complete outsider from the SEC. If you tweet something about that, you will get an absolute hornet's nest. There's a friend of mine that did that, watching the College World Series, and I cannot wait to talk to him because he's an outsider. He's an outsider. Just rendered an opinion, and he got it from all directions. It's a subject that will get some opinions.
Yeah, I would say that's a lightning rod topic.
And God forbid, and it would be an amazing spectacle, if Vanderbilt and Mississippi State meet in the final, can you imagine where that's going? Both of those things. And it happened 2 years ago. I mean, it's been happening for a long time when those two teams play. But it is a battle. Battle royale on social media with the fan bases. Huh. Okay,
that's so what you know?
That's what I know.
We can agree with that.
So I won't be tweeting about either one anytime soon.
Chase?
This is what I know. Kyle Larson won and dominated the Ally 400 at the Nashville Super Speedway to win his fourth race of the season. It was a three-peat in points races, but four-peat if you count the All-Star race. He was driving a red and white Hendrick Motorsports number 5. The last time the Cup Series raced in Nashville was Saturday, July 14th at the fairgrounds, the Pepsi 420. That race was won by Jeffrey Bodine, driving a red and white Hendrick Motorsports number 5. That's what I know.
All right. Well done.
Kind of ironic.
Got to spend a little time around their pits yesterday. That was good.
They are clicking.
Right. They are clicking. My goodness. They are rolling. Let's go to, how about this? Let's start down in Atlanta. By the way, the Hawks, this is what I know. They get it done. How about that win last night?
Oh, woo! The pain that you could see on the faces of the Philadelphia fans. Let me just tell you,
they have a Ben Simmons problem. They've got a Ben Simmons problem. I don't know what they're going to do with him. They've got a Ben Simmons problem. Let's go to Kevin down in the ATL. Kevin, tell us what you know.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. Yes, calling from Atlanta, and great segue, Darren. Little backstory. We are from Nashville. We just moved down to Atlanta 3 months ago. And I always had Georgia ties. Chase had TBS growing up as a kid, so a Braves fan.
Very nice.
Yes, sir. So this is what I know, is I can't figure out, or I can't trust Atlanta sports fandom. We wanted to watch Game 7 last night. We walked to the local sports bar, and I had to tell them to turn off NCIS Los Angeles to put on
Are you serious?
No way.
No, I was like, man, I love LL Cool J, don't get me wrong, but I want to watch Trae Young.
And what?
So we've had to ask to put on Braves games. We've had to ask to put on Hawks games.
Oh, my gosh.
So I'm starting to realize I think the Atlanta United might be the best sports fan in Atlanta. So this is what I know. I can't trust Atlanta sports fandom.
You know what? I have a similar experience a couple weeks ago, and we're going back there this weekend in Atlanta. But my son and I, after a game, we went to a sports bar, not right in the heart of Atlanta, but we were in Cartersville, which is about maybe 30 minutes from SunTrust Park. And the Braves were playing, and the sports bar had all of the they had a lot of regional college baseball going on. They had some NBA games on. They did have the Hawks on, but they didn't have the Braves on. Like, I was just thinking, like, we're
unbelievable.
It's like you would think that the Atlanta teams are the first teams you would have on in a sports bar, right? Mm. And it just, somebody would have had to have asked to put the Braves on.
Hasn't that kind of always been the knock on Atlanta sports fans, though?
They're not a good sports town. We've kind of been banging on them for a long time.
Hey, love the show, and I've got you all on the app every day.
Thank you very much, Kevin.
Appreciate it.
See you guys.
Thank you for listening on the app, Kevin. I think that hasn't that been the – I mean, we've been calling them a lousy sports town for a long time.
Decades.
So
I mean, they've lost two hockey teams.
But when you hear that, isn't that just like, wow. The Hawks are in a Game 7 to go to a conference final against the number one seed, and you walk into a sports bar in that market and the game isn't even on? You've got to be kidding me.
That's sad.
Holy crap. That's bad. There was a time when that was going on here, Chase, and when I said that on the air, man, Willie knows, it did not go over well. Willie knows what I'm talking about. A downtown sports bar.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, they didn't even have the Preds game on.
We got a
phone call. Oh, my gosh.
We got a phone call.
You would think I was, yeah.
And you were just speaking the truth?
So that was, you would think I was speaking in tongues when I said that. Boy, it was, I think there were some people with their heads spinning. It was like The Exorcist, a sequel to The Exorcist. They were not happy. But it was just the truth.
Sure.
Obviously, that was a long, 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 long time ago. But there was a time when that was going on in this market. Let's go to Lance. Lance, what do you know?
Yes, this is what I know. It was a lot of, I guess, sports hype going on in the state of Tennessee to me this weekend with the NASCAR races at the Speedway and also Vanderbilt and Tennessee in the College World Series. I'm a lifelong Vols fan. Watched the Vanderbilt game, rooting for Vanderbilt as well because they're a home state team. But, you know, got together with my dad for Father's Day to watch the Vols game. Really excited about that. And it was, what I know is that game yesterday reminded me of the never-ending cycle of being a Vols fan where you just climb up this mountain of hope, you know, hoping to see something, and then you just get let right off a cliff. It reminded me of the Oregon State loss, the basketballs in the tournament. It was just sad. They're in the loser's bracket now, so we'll see what happens. But, man, it was just all too familiar. That's
Lance,
what I know.
I know, man. We don't mean to laugh. Golly.
Oh, it's true. Funny.
It's so relatable.
It is what it is, guys.
Yeah, I know. Gosh. Well, hopefully it'll get better. At least you got to spend time with Dad watching the game.
Oh, yeah, for sure. That's good stuff.
Thanks for the call. Man, my wife's a UT grad, and she's given up on the heartache. She doesn't even pay attention. She's basically like, call me when you get good again.
Which is
good.
I know. She did actually, in fairness, she did watch them when they were on television. She watched some of the games, the baseball team. But you just, and basketball, but gosh, basketball was trending toward heartache, right? It just was. But you hate to laugh at that, but golly, it is true. It's like this is like the first like real encouragement of things have turned a corner for Vols fans, and this baseball team has been so fun to watch all season. Everybody, you know, Sunday afternoon, it's Father's Day, you get together, and it's like you just watch that exciting Vanderbilt game Saturday night, and they get shut out. It's like, wow. All right, let's go to Josh. Josh, what do you know?
Hi, guys. So yesterday I went to my first NASCAR race, and it was exhilarating. When they first started, like, I couldn't have imagined how loud it actually was. And had a ton of fun, but this is what I know. I am a hockey fan, and I am not equipped as a big guy to sit out in the 200-degree heat for 4 hours watching these guys go in a circle. Like I said, fun, very, very fun, one-time experience, but I will probably spend my time at Preds games much more than I will NASCAR races.
You're saying it's a little cooler at Preds games?
Slightly.
Yeah. Josh, thank you. Yeah, it was hot. Look, then thanks for going. Hey, at least you gave it a This is why I applaud him. Willie knows this.
Sure.
Chase, when we used to beg people just to go to Preds games, she's like, just give it a shot. If it's not for you, it's fine. But don't say you hate it if you've never given it a shot. You know what I applaud him for? At least he gave it a shot. And by the way, it was hot out there. And I cheated a couple times. I went to the media center because I just needed to cool down. It was
That's not cheating. That's being
there.
Smart.
I need to get out of the sun.
You have that at your disposal, so use it.
Yeah, I did. Let's go to Derek. Derek on our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. What do you know?
I know that the Bucks are going to win it.
That the Bucks are going to win it. Which Bucks are you talking about?
Milwaukee Bucks.
Oh, the Milwaukee Bucks. Yes. How about them? They got it done.
I'm a Milwaukee transplant to Nashville. And I'm ready to celebrate a championship win.
How about that? You know what? There's no cooler, nicer, just team you want to root for than the Brooklyn Nets. It is so nice to see them out of it because they're just such a team you can get behind. I'm rooting
for
your Bucks, Derek.
Fear the deer.
Yeah. Hey, I like it. Hey, they advance. That's a good win for them. Thanks for the call.
Bucks.
How about that? Bucks, Hawks.
Suns.
Because that's what everybody had, right?
And Clips.
That's what everybody had going into the playoffs.
Hey, a couple years ago, Darren, you would complain.
I know.
You were all over the NBA. I'm tired of the same teams going. Remember, the same teams went to the final 3 years in a row. Hey, now you're going to hear people complain, hey, the big market teams aren't in there.
Yep.
Well, which one is it? You know, I love that you have this. I love the unpredictability of it. I love that you couldn't just write a team down that was going to go all the way. That's good for the league, I think. I'm excited about the four teams that are in there.
And if you listen to this show, and if you listened before they had the first tip of the regular season, there was no team I thought was more unlikable than the Brooklyn Nets. So I was absolutely fear the deer. I was rooting for the Bucks, and I'm glad they got it done. Let's go to Barrett. Barrett, what do you know?
I do know that Darren has earned the right to duck into that media center. You have more than paid your NASCAR dues for decades now, so you take advantage of every perk you can get.
Thank you, Barrett, and I did yesterday.
This is what I know, gentlemen. Some old boy on Friday was way, way too triggered by Naomi Osaka. I mean, just basically yelling at us, we don't care, we don't care. Well, I have a suggestion. You know, if you don't care, just scroll on by. I'd be willing to bet a very large sum that this individual has never watched a women's final at Roland Garros, possibly ever. So, you know, if you don't like the lady, just keep on scrolling, bud. Don't get your blood pressure up, buddy.
There's always
it's
that
gonna
guy.
Be okay.
I'm putting that guy on the list. The guy that just lives to write. I don't care about like random tweets about different things. You know, different like if you don't care, just like you said, scroll on by. But don't we all see those?
Right.
Hey, nobody.
Well,
cares.
He's referencing you just made the list on Friday. You weren't.
Yeah.
You had ducked out at that point.
But there's always that guy on Twitter too, right? That just replies to something you tweeted. I don't care. Well, fine.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just move along.
I didn't tweet it for you.
Thanks for your contribution,
right.
Old boy.
Thank you, Barrett.
Let's have a great day.
Yeah, you too. Let's sneak one more in. Steve, what do you know?
This is what I know. Sitting in TD Ameritrade for 12 innings against the top-hitting team in the country is not good for one's blood pressure at all.
So are you there? Goodness. Are you there, Steve, or are you back?
No, I'm at DoubleTree right now.
Awesome.
Stands starting to fill up at the stadium, so it's an amazing trip. But boy, it'll give you some stress. But man, what a game! Our bullpen played pretty well. That was surprising. But Arizona can rake. We'll probably see them again.
Hey, do us a favor. Call us tomorrow. Give us let us know. Let's go a little bit more in depth about your experience. I'd love to hear how tonight plays out. And call us tomorrow if you can.
I'll do my best. I'll be in there. I got to leave tomorrow. But I have my brother Schmidt. He really knows him. I'll have him give you a call. Give him a good. He's even out here umpiring. So
awesome!
It's a great trip.
Oh, is he working the Slump Buster?
Yeah, he's doing the big tournament they have out here.
Nice.
All right.
So he makes a trip of it. So anchor down, boys.
Fantastic.
Thank you, Steve. Thanks for checking in. All right.
It's a good call.
Calls from Omaha and Atlanta. All right, we'll come back. Speaking of Omaha, we head there next. We bring in Vince Ferrara for the third hour.